Hello and welcome to Beautiful Chaos. This is a podcast where I talk about the beauty that comes with the chaos of life. I'm so thankful that you're choosing to spend this time with me. We're in a three-part series right now called hashtag Me Too. Yeah, Me Too. These are moments in time that happened between me turning 16 and throughout my 16th year. All of these stories from last week, this week, and next week's are all in a six-month period, literally consecutive, one after another. They were pivotal in who I am as a woman. As I reflect and I look back to my life and these years, I realize that a lot of who I am is because of this. A lot of boundaries that I put up or walls that I put up are because of these experiences. So this is vulnerable for me to share these, but if they can help anybody, if I can be an encouragement, life is messy. It's not a clean box. And part of these stories I share are because I have kids these ages. We need to be having these conversations with our kids. We need to be having these conversations with ourselves of what things do we need to be working through and asking God to just intervene, leaving them at the cross so that we can have freedom in this, that we can be a whole person, a whole woman, a whole mother, a whole wife. And so we're just going to jump right in to part two. I had just come out of fighting for justice at the hospital with Dr. H. And that same fall, I had enrolled in a student exchange program through my high school. So the way that it worked, this was months ago, I had enrolled in this, and you'd be matched with a student in Germany based on our interests. She would come to my house for 3 months, and then I would return weeks later to her house for 3 months. You may have been on one. You may have heard of somebody that's gone on one. And most of the times it turns out okay. I was so excited for this adventure. It was not only a way out of my comfort zone. If you remember back to past podcasts, it's crazy that I even was open to this because I had such fear and anxiety. I needed to be around my parents in order to feel like I could keep them safe. And so for me to step out into this was already such a huge step. I also saw it as a missional opportunity. At 16 years old, I was excited about the opportunity to share Jesus with this new family. From the moment I met this girl, I was so confused. We were matched by interests and similarities, but we literally couldn't be more different. There was no common ground, nothing that linked us together. I was like a Californian cheerleader you see in the movies. More bubbles than a Hubble bubble. My kids are going to love that one. She was a tomboy with very low energy. I loved people. She loved earth. I loved to curl my hair. She wore bandanas as hats. You get the picture. We're just different. I tried. Oh, Lord knows I tried. I brought her to youth group. She became a Christian during her time visiting our home, and I was so thankful that in the midst of her and I just not clicking, not figuring it out, that God came in and did his work within her. And I thought, okay, this is what this was about. And things started, we started figuring out how to tolerate each other's presence. And then one day we were at somebody's cabin and there was this moth that just kept bothering us and it just wouldn't leave. And I took a magazine and I rolled it up and I just swatted it. And she ran at me, like ran, screaming, calling me a murderer. She said, "You call yourself a Christian? How could you kill God's creation?" Yes, good point. I value and love all living creatures. But at the time, all I saw coming at me was crazy. And we never recovered from that day. She'd stay in her room, and weeks later, she got a call from her dad that only lasted minutes. He told her in that moment that he was leaving her mother for another woman. I went to her and she cried in my arms, and I just held her and comforted her the best that I could. I was 16. It was proposed by my parents that I cancel my portion of the trip, given all the circumstances. The girl hates me. Her father's just left her mother for another woman. But I felt in my heart of hearts that I couldn't. Looking back, part of it was pride. I wasn't a quitter. But mostly, I truly believed that I was on a mission, that I was supposed to bring the love of Jesus to this broken home. Of course, looking back, I was so naive to think that I had the ability to enter a home of brokenness and expect to bring healing. But I was prepared to try. And so she came to my house for 3 months. There was a month in between. And then in January of that year, I arrived at the home of the mother and her girls and was just greeted to quietness. The dark was cold and dark, dismal, and just heavy. I'd never been away from home before. I struggled with fear and anxiety, and immediately homesick just kicked in. I called my parents on the landline, no cell phones at that time, no email at that time, for goodness sakes. I'm ancient. And I called my parents to let them know I had arrived. The only way that we could communicate was expensive phone calls, so they had to be quick, and faxes. Now, part of the requirement for hosting was that you needed to take your student on a trip. Before I arrived, we were told that they had been planning a skiing trip to Switzerland. Now, part of my concern leading up to it, and my parents got reassurance that both parents were taking us. Now, hindsight, how did we believe that a woman whose husband had just scorned her was going to join him on this trip is beyond my comprehension. But they said that that was going to be the case. And the day came, and still thinking that they were both joining, until the dad came to the house joined by his girlfriend and her 18-year-old son and his friend. They then informed me at this point that the mother was not going to join after all. The girls hadn't even met their father's girlfriend yet, and here we are heading away as strangers. This girl still isn't talking to me. I said I needed to use the phone to tell my parents and about the change, that I wasn't comfortable. They said there was no time and I was going. It was non-negotiable. So we hopped in the car, and hours later, we arrived at a small log chalet or cabin in Austria, not Switzerland. When I inquired on the location change, saying my parents thought I was in Switzerland, I was told to stop being ungrateful and stop whining. I followed them up to our room. It had one small bathroom with an open concept shower. Like, the whole bathroom was open concept to the room. It wasn't a separate entity. It had one long bunk bed that slept 8 on the top and 8 on the bottom. I assumed this whole setup was just for the women in the group, until her father drops his pants and got naked right in front of me, right in the middle of the room, and began to take a shower. I was designated my sleep spot between my exchange partner, who still had said not more than 2 words to me since my arrival, and the son, who was offering me vodka shots as he got plastered with his friend. I tried not to cry. I would not let them see me cry. I was determined that they would not break me. The chalet was full of travelers. They're all friendly enough, but I have no idea what their connection were to one another. We ate meals together, usually cheese, meat, and wine. The kids would fully drink too. I declined, and in return was told I was ungrateful. I asked again to call home. It was declined again. I hardly slept a wink at night. I didn't trust the drunk man boy that lay beside me. I couldn't shower, exposing myself to the group. The next morning, we went to the mountain to ski, which is funny enough because I had never been skiing before in my life. And here I am learning on the Alps. I felt invigorated and alive. It was so stunningly beautiful. I pushed the negative thoughts from my mind and I was determined to make the most of it. That lasted 5 minutes when the family decided that they didn't want to teach me after all. And they left me in the care of a man who offered to spend the day with me to teach me. A stranger to them. I said I wasn't comfortable and I was fine just to teach myself on the bunny hill and just chill on a bench. At that, the father lost it on me. He began swearing and calling me awful names. I was embarrassed and afraid. No one had ever spoken to me with such harshness in my life, least of all my dad. It was decided that this stranger would teach me. A stranger to them as well, I might add. It was just a man that was staying at the place. He was kind, but too kind. Let's just say he had a hands-on approach to teaching. I can picture what he looks like, but even more than what I see, I can smell him. His breath smelt of stinky cheese and spices. I smell it in my mind and it just brings me right back. It's crazy how smells do that. I couldn't handle the touching anymore, so I asked to take a break, claiming my feet were hurting. I sat on a bench where he took off my boots and began massaging my feet and then continued up my inner thighs. I jumped with a startle. All better. I'm good. Then an idea hit me. With all this affection throwing my way, maybe I would allow him to believe I like this affection and convince him that I need to make a quick call. It worked. He led me to a payphone where I made a hurried collect call to my parents. I quickly explained that it wasn't what it should be. I was in Austria. The mother stayed home. The father won't let me have access. He showers in front of me. I don't feel... And before I could finish, the man motioned me to get off. I looked up to see the father from a distance and ended the call with, "Sorry, he's coming." Click. I eventually learned to ski and am still in awe of the majesty of God's creation. The trip continued along the same vein. Naked men, sleepless nights, verbally assaulted, and silence. We returned to the mother's house where I was told the phone was off limits and the house was off limits. I'm like, what did I do? I don't understand how everything has changed and gone so wrong so fast. I was to stay in my room in the basement and only leave to use the bathroom. When I'd come back, they'd be searching my bags. I'm not sure what they expected to find as I wasn't going anywhere. I don't know every time what new things they expected to find. I'd spend my days in my room just reading the Psalms and calling out to the Lord. I have vivid memories of feeling his presence with me. One day, I saw a portable phone in the hallway on my way back from the bathroom. I slipped it under my shirt and went back to my room, where I waited for the search to be complete and the door to be closed. I waited, and in the quietness of the night, I called my parents home. No answer. Right, it's Sunday. They're at church. I kept calling the church office over and over and over until finally someone picked up. They found my parents and I told them everything. I finally let it out and I just began weeping. While on the phone, they arranged with a friend of a friend to come and get me. I was told not to say anything, just wait. Hours later, long before the rising of the sun, there was a knock at the door. An angel named Silky had driven hours to get me, and I will forever be thankful for her kindness. They wouldn't let me go. Okay, here we go again. They said I was their responsibility. My parents faxed over a letter giving authorization and telling them I would be leaving immediately. And just like that, I left their home never to hear from her or her family again. Not sure why they hated me or treated me so unfairly. For a long time, I thought that it was something to do with me. But now I know that they had a lot going on in their home. They didn't have the capacity to love or offer love to another human being. I stayed with the woman for a few days and got into a happy rhythm. I was homesick, but I felt safe. It was not to be, though, because as winter break was ending and the exchange program required me to be in school, it was suggested by my parents that I come home. I had been through a lot emotionally, and it would be acceptable to call it quits early. In my stubbornness, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't. I could not fail. This goes back to that strong-willed part within me of needing to prove myself. Not healthy, but it is what it is. And so she drove me to a Christian family willing to house me for the rest of my trip. I'd attend a local school, and finish out my 3 months in Germany. I didn't have to fear being locked in my room with no contact with the outside world. I faxed my parents every day, and with anticipation, I'd wait for the sound of the fax machine to whirl, knowing that it was a letter from my family. All in all, it was tickety-boo. The only uncomfortable part was the teen man. He was a teen, but he looked like a man. He had a swastika tattoo, and he would follow me around on his motorbike. Everywhere I went, he wasn't far behind. I was like a game to him, a game I didn't want to play. I kept my distance, and I commented to the family, and they said he was fine, harmless. Later, I'd find out that he was a friend. I met two lovely girls at school, and we became fast friends. All of a sudden, I didn't feel so alone. I had found my people. One of my friend's father was German and her mother was Nigerian. She was stunning. We had a great time together and I was finally feeling at home. My friends and I had made plans to go shopping and I asked my exchange parents for permission and they agreed happily. They were so happy that I had made friends. The next day I was to hop on a train and meet them at the mall at 11 a.m. That morning, after a quick visit from the boy that kept an eye on me, my exchange parents confronted me, saying they didn't know that was the girl. I didn't understand. I explained that they were kind and good girls. They said they didn't know I had chosen a black friend. I was appalled. I'd grown up with many close black friends. I didn't understand why they would be so harsh. They forbid me to go shopping with her and told me that I would never to see her again. I said I couldn't do that. I was waiting at the train station. They were literally waiting for me. There was no cell phones. She was my friend. She had done nothing wrong, and I would not unfriend someone based on the color of their skin. They said if I went, then I'd not be allowed to return to their house. Well, in my logical, strong-willed mind, I went shopping with the girls. I expected the parents to come to their senses while I was gone. These weren't girls that were involved in any kind of activity that was harmful. They were so sweet. And that night, I came home to a dark, empty house and my suitcases on the front porch. The family literally had picked up and left for a vacation. Again, I found myself in a foreign country, feeling defeated, but also justified. I knew I had made the right choice. I could never choose to not love someone based on any other merit than their kindness. I had no idea what to do now, but I knew it was time to go home. I called my parents from a payphone with my luggage sitting beside me on the floor. The earliest flight home was from Frankfurt and 3 days away. They found a place for me to stay for 2 nights until the earliest flight out. I took a train from where I was to Stuttgart and then a connecting train to Frankfurt. On the train, a man was making me uncomfortable, so I walked up to a family and pretended I was with them. I had the grit and tenacity to make it. After all I'd been through, all the courage I portrayed, I didn't feel like it was enough. All I could think was, I failed. I only lasted 2 months. I was so humiliated. I wish I could go back and tell my younger self how proud I am of her. How if I could do it over, I would make the same decisions in those situations because they were right. I would say, you were right to say you were uncomfortable, to go away with a man you didn't know or trust. You were courageous to sneak the phone, not once, but twice. You kept persevering through hard things, experiences that would have crushed most adults. And most of all, I am so proud that you stood up against injustice, even when it meant your comfort was at risk. You're not a failure. You were a conqueror through Christ. You did what was right, and you pressed into the Lord for strength and truth. You'll grow up and you're going to have girls of your own. You're not going to remember the failures, but you would have regretted not doing what was right and true.